1 Corinthians 13, New King James Version. The greatest gift. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing.
Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not speak its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all nothing, believes all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we profess in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which his part will be done away.
When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Happy Valentine's Day, if that's something that you celebrate. But we want to celebrate God's love. And we're going to start by singing this morning, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Would you stand with us this morning? We're going to start worshiping God today by singing this song.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, although the ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. The solid rock I stand, although the ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant and blood, support me in his roaming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you. Would you please be seated?
Well, good morning again. Another good morning to you. Another happy Valentine's Day, if that's your thing. I was in Brisbane through the week and in a shop, and someone convinced me to buy something for Valentine's Day. And this person, this sales assistant, who was a friend of mine, she tried that on quite a few people. And a lot of people said, oh, we don't do Valentine's Day. Why do we need a special day to buy flowers for each other? We should be doing that all the time. So hopefully that's your experience. Valentine's Day was the one day you didn't get flowers, but the other 364 days you do. No, that doesn't happen, does it? Anyway, happy Valentine's Day. Anyway, bless you. So hopefully as you came in, you did the COVID thing, you've signed in, you're socially distanced, you've availed yourself of the 60% alcohol to cleanse your hands, all those things that we continue to do. It's still amongst us in Australia. It's very much a part of the world, so we continue to remember those people in other places who are suffering, and we thank God that we are more or less free of it, even though we still are under COVID conditions. Last week, last Sunday afternoon, we had the inaugural Sunshine Coast God Sports Arena gathering. It was a great time. We had 86 people here over in the Mission Centre. It was a lovely time. Danielle there, she's in the middle there with her head to her side. She spoke and she gave her story. It was very challenging. It was very encouraging. So that is the thing that will be happening the first Sunday of the month. And if you would like to come and hear the story of God's transformational power in people's lives, not just on Sunday morning, another occasion is once a month, Sunday evenings, 4:30, out in the Mission Centre, the first Sunday of the month. Next week is Picnic in the Park. Oh, no, House of Prayer. House of Prayer is on every week. Now, except when there's GSA, it's not on. So a little bit of confusion, but the weeks that GSA is on, the first Sunday of the month, we have a 9 o'clock prayer meeting. Every other week, like this week, House of Prayer, 4 o'clock, come and pray. Come and be prayed for. Come and pray. It's a great time of fellowship together. House Picnic in the Park is on next week, not this week. Good thing, because if it was on this week, we'd probably have to cancel it because of the weather. But next week, you're welcome to come along, join with us, bring your own food, time to share, just a time to chat, time to encourage one another. It's a great time to gather and meet and just spend time with other people in a stress-free place at Cremunda Park there. We are in the middle of our series, A Way Out. Today is week two, and Karen is going to talk to us about fighting temptation and eliminating temptation. Is that true? Maybe? I'm not sure. I haven't heard the sermon in its entirety. So why fight it if you can get rid of it? Sounds good to me. We'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to that. The last thing I need to tell you about is self-denial. Our self-denial period is starting today. Today is the launch of self-denial. And inside your newsletter, hopefully you received a letter from the commissioners, Robert and Janine Donaldson, which speaks about what self-denial is all about. It's a salvation. It's a peculiar Salvation Army thing. It aligns more or less with Lent leading up to Easter. And our goal as Salvationists is to deny ourselves of a week's salary. It's a big ask. For what purpose? 1 week's salary on missionary service. So it's to give to other countries to advance the kingdom of God and help other people in need. And especially in our world that we live in, as I said before, in many countries, COVID has stripped many people of their resources, their ability to be able to earn their own living. And so there are many people in the world who are struggling, who need our help. So over the next 5 or 6 weeks, we'll be looking at the different countries and challenging each other about giving 1 week's salary on missionary service. And in that vein, we've got a video, a short video from our commissioners who will be sharing their vision for self-denial this year. But I will give you our goal. Now, this was our goal for last year. We didn't quite reach it because of COVID. We weren't actually gathering at that time. So it's totally understandable that we didn't make it. So we've reset at that same amount, 32,000. It sounds like a lot of money, but we have more people who are coming than we did last year and even the year before when we came very close. So I think that we can get there. Hopefully together we can make a difference. I know that we can. And so let's listen to Robert and Janine.
Since our last self-denial appeal, the world has changed. COVID-19 brought with it fear, disconnection, and increased poverty to billions of people worldwide. Australians have experienced their own hardship. Impacts of the pandemic continue to be felt far and wide.
There is no doubt that the pandemic has wreaked havoc around the world. But the reality is that the impacts have been felt far greater within vulnerable communities, whose healthcare and economic systems were already at breaking point. This year, countries have fallen deeper into poverty, and the difference and inequality between those who have and those who don't is now more pronounced than ever before. Internationally, the Army has had to adapt and respond with innovation and agility, working across the globe to provide food, shelter, support, and a true eternal hope and resilience that only God can provide.
This year's self-denial series was filmed in early 2020, just before the pandemic swept across the world. It is a real testament to how the Salvation Army Corps and programs are transforming lives and communities all around the world through the love of God. In this series, we will show how local territories are responding to the needs of communities through a children's ministries in the favelas of Brazil, establishing self-help groups in India to teach business skills to women, and how a corps in Ukraine is transforming the future of young people through caring support and teaching life skills. In our final story, we revisit a project from 2019 in South Africa where clean water has changed the lives of thousands of people.
These projects and many others were all funded through your sacrificial gifts to the Self-Denial Appeal. We want to thank you for your support over the years. Throughout this Self-Denial series, we will reflect on Romans 12 verse 2, which encourages us not to conform to this world, but be transformed by God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The world is uncertain, but we can focus on the transforming power of God, as seen in these four stories. Through the work of the Salvation Army, through people like you, we can see transformation. Please partner with us this Self-Denial Appeal and give 1 week's salary on missionary service.
Awesome. Who's got some exciting news for me? Kira.
I'm sick and I'm in year one and my class is 1A.
Yes. I think we sang happy birthday last week, didn't you? Yes. Yes. So yes, Kira is still six, in case anyone's wondering, and she's still in grade one. Imogen?
I'm moving schools to Kalanga State School.
Imogen's moving schools. Very exciting. When are you doing that? Do you know? Soon? Awesome. That's really exciting. Spencer?
I started high school a week ago.
Awesome. Spencer started high school. Very exciting. Is it better than primary?
No.
No, it's not better than primary? Oh, well, I don't think you can go back, so I think you're stuck there for a couple years. I have a question for you. Talking about birthdays, who here likes writing a birthday list of everything that they want for their birthday? Or everything that they want for Christmas. I did when I was a kid. But you just say it? When I was little, when I was probably Kieran Jacinda's age, my birthday list was a Kmart or a Big W catalogue that I had gone through with the texter and circled everything that I wanted. You probably don't even know what a Kmart or Big W catalogue is because I don't think they make them anymore. It's like a magazine that had all pictures of toys. I would circle every single toy that I wanted. I didn't usually get all of them. Pretty much. I pretty much circled anything that was pink. But just because we have lots of things, things don't last forever, do they? Who's had a toy that they really loved, but it broke? Yeah? Yeah, that really sucks when that happens, doesn't it? Or you lost it, or you left it somewhere, and it was gone. That's really sad when that happens, isn't it? Well, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't keep our treasures here on earth anyway. Because it says, "Do not store your treasures for yourselves here on earth. Moths and rust will destroy them, and thieves can break into your house and steal the things that you have. You should store your treasures in heaven. The treasures in heaven cannot be destroyed by moths and rust or stolen by thieves." That's what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. But what does that mean? Does that mean that when you get a really cool present, you should just like store it in heaven, just like take it and somehow store it in heaven? I don't think you can do that. No, because that's not talking about our earthly things, is it? Because we can't take our earthly things with us, can we? No. So it says here that Jesus isn't talking about money or possessions. The treasure he's talking about are the things that matter to God: being kind, helping people in need, loving others as we love ourselves, and of course, loving God. So you're going to talk a little bit more about what that means when you go out to Kids Zone with Jess. How does that sound? Good? Woo! All right. Off you go, guys. Have music.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is a way maker? That he's a promise keeper? That he's a miracle worker? That he's a light in the darkness?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that. And Karen's going to share to us more about Jesus making a way out for us when we're tempted later on. Because he is faithful, because he is a promise keeper, and we can trust him, we can rely on him. And we can trust him for our resources. So I just want to pray for the offering just now. Father God, I thank you that you have blessed us here, each one. Lord, that you've given us the ability to give back. So Lord, of the money that we've given today, I pray that it will be used and magnified and multiplied for your kingdom, that there will be wisdom applied to it, and that people will experience your love and your freedom and your hope because of it. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to have a chat in the chapel today. And the lights are going to spin round and the buzzer is going to ring and someone's going to come up. This person knows, so that's good. Don't worry too much. So I'm just going to try and turn this on. Oh, Gary, you're exceeding your AV skills there. Here we go. So Kim, could you come up? Could you welcome Kim as he comes up and shares with us today? Now, if you don't know Kim, he's softly spoken, but he has a powerful story. So Kim's going to share a little bit of that story today. Now, Kim, when you speak, can you just make sure you speak into the mic for us here, but also for YouTube later on? Because you're going to be a star. Look, don't worry, not many people. If we get 100 views on YouTube, it'll go viral. But just for some people who can't make it today, who want to hear a bit of your story. So, Kim. You are part of our congregation here. You've been coming on and off for at least as long as we've been here, maybe a bit longer. But your story starts way before that. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience of God as you grew up?
My experience of God as I grew up, yes.
Did you grow up in a Christian home?
Yeah, no, I was, you know, thankful. Very thankful for Jesus. Yeah, I have a Christian background, my mother and my father, I guess. So, You're very blessed in that way to have known the Lord. You know, I've always been going to church as a child, and when I was like, small. And so God planted that seed pretty early. So I praise the Lord for that.
Did you have a smooth childhood, though? Did everything go like what is one of those dream childhoods? Was it a bit messy?
I guess I believe nobody's life is perfect. You know, we all have our ups and downs, and that's just life. And it was just that occasion. I mean, my parents were like struggling alcoholics, and there was always ups and downs. And me and my sisters were thrown from family to family. That was sort of our run, but thank the Lord for His lovely grace and mercy. We've kept our eyes on the Lord.
So how old were you when you left home and started out on your own?
I first went out on my own when I was about 16 or 17, really. We was living down in the north side here of Brisbane, Kalanga, and I pulled out of high school and sort of thing, and went back up in the Gulf of Carpentaria, where I'm from, and went out on a cattle station, and that was my first experience of my first time out in the world on my own, sort of thing. So
let me ask you, at that stage, did you have your own relationship with God, or was it yet to happen?
Nah, not really. I mean, just the fact that I, always went to church growing up. I'm around mum and dad. They took us kids to church, and just having that knowing, having a knowing that Jesus was there, because I've always seen mum and dad go through struggles, and they've always called. They've always, when they was down and out, down in the gutter, they've always went back to the cross, sort of thing. And that sort of stuck in my mind. So always knew, Jesus. Jesus said He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and that scripture stuck with me for ages. I just always knew He was around. Especially when you're on your own, He's closest to you. And I felt He was close to me when I was on my own. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask, when you're out there by yourself, you're away from your support. Even it's your country, but, with people you might not know so well, was it a different experience of who God is for you?
Definitely. I mean, you on your own, you come to know Him a bit more, better in your walk with Him. There were many, and after that experience going out on my own, you get challenges come your way. That's just life. And, God, He knows how to shape and mold you, and the way He wants you to when you're on your own. Because, I put all my faith in Him when I was on my own. I said there's many challenging times, and I had to really look to the cross and had to look for Him, not only for that but for guidance. I had nowhere else to turn. He was all I sort of knew. So,
yeah.
Thank Him for that.
So Kim has a really he's got. Kim, how old are you?
31.
31. He's packed so much in. If you get a chance to talk to Kim, he has so many stories to tell, so many stories of when, Jesus has made a way for him, and always when God is faithful. Maybe because like all of us, there's times when we've not looked to God first, but God has always made a way for Kim. Is that right, Kim?
I guess so. Like you said, there were times when I didn't put my faith in Him. We've all asked a question, is why, God, I'm no doubt, but we've all been there, and we've all asked that question. When there was no other road to take, I just always knew, deep down in my heart, Jesus was always the answer for me, so to turn to.
So we were talking the other day, and he told me a story, and that idea that Jesus is a waymaker, a light on a hill, a miracle worker. Have you got a story about where you really felt that God came through? When you had no other hope, but you know that God made Himself real to you in the situation?
There's a few instances. I was up in Cairns a good couple of years ago on my own. Obviously, you know, me and my ex-partner, we was having troubles, and she sort of moved down here with our son, and it was another sort of journey on my own, where, and I guess, well, I believe that God's in control, and he got me out of in another situation where he had me out on my own. To make me sort of think, you know, I was sort of playing up, and well, none of us are perfect, sort of thing. But I was going through a bit of a disobedience stage, and yeah, well, God, I'd sort of look at it and thought, no, God, in God's sort of way, he thought, no, well, I'm going to sort you out, young fella. So he took me out on my own, got me out of my own, and I was really dependent on him. I mean, I was up in Kansas, staying and just sort of living in a homeless shelter sort of thing, and there's a lot of folks sort of running the joint, and I sort of got on the nerves of some of the folks there, and they were some pretty bad folks. They weren't bad or anything, but some folks you shouldn't mess with, and yeah, I got on their nerves, and God bless them though, but done the wrong thing by them, and yeah, they was there to get revenge on me sort of thing, and like I said, I had no one there sort of thing, and they come around one day, I had to go back because all my stuff was there. I went back, and I knew just knew these guys. They was going to hurt me in some way, shape, or form. But I thought, no, well, I'll cruise back anyway. But I was sitting down. They come around, and I just knew them. Just could feel in my spirit, feel they was out to hurt me. So I just sat down and just sort of closed my eyes and just knowing Jesus said it, in the book of John, I think, or somewhere in the New Testament, says Jesus, call upon the name of Jesus and you'll be saved, So I just kept meditating in my head. I just kept thanking Jesus in my head for giving his life for me and shedding his blood for me on the cross, and just kept meditating on it, and just the Holy Spirit started moving, and they sort of backed off and left me alone. So I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, he really came through and at that time, and he still does when you call upon his name. So
yeah, that's a great testimony. And he's a waymaker, he's a promise keeper, a miracle worker. We're going to pray for you now, Kim. Father God, I thank you for Kim. I thank you for the way that you are continually working in his life. I thank you that he has a humble heart and he's open to you. And many of us stray, Lord. We do our own thing. We might look like we're doing the right thing, but only you know our hearts. And we know that this is a man that you love and who you've forgiven. And Lord, I pray that you continue to uphold him with your hand, that you hold him in the palm of your hand, that you strengthen him, that you provide for him, and that you continue to bless him, and that you continue to make a way for him. Lord, we thank you for this, and we thank you for Kim's life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Kim. Thanks for your story. Want to join with me in thanking Kim today? Thanks, mate. Thanks, sis.
We're going to sing together again now. We sang it last week, one that we have often joined together in enjoying because of the truth that's contained in these words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You have to stand to sing it, don't you? You don't have to, but you know what I mean.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace
Standing while we pray. Please join me in praying. We give thanks this morning, O God, for your amazing grace. We give thanks this morning for your transforming grace. We give thanks this morning for your sufficient grace. And we thank you for the freedom in Christ that comes when our chains are gone. We pray this morning, search our hearts, O God. Are there other chains that need to be broken? Your word says in Hebrews 12, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles or trips us up. Search our hearts, O God. Are we caught, trapped? And our prayer is this morning, break every chain. Break every chain. Bring freedom. And in that freedom, may we live, love and glorify you and serve you. And as we come to the sharing of your word this morning, speak powerfully from your word, which is more powerful than any two-edged sword. Bless your servant Karen as she brings your word, and may we not just be hearers, but also doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated, and I'm reading from James this morning. The other one. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. And I'm reading from the New International Version. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, You do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is the word of the Lord.
Anybody here a fan of the maze? Mazes like this. Anyone a fan? Well, Mick is a definite fan. Some people kind of iffy about Mick straight there. This is a maze in Tasmania. Tasmasia, they call it. The little village of Lower Crackpot. We took our boys here. Has anyone been there? Tim, I know Tim's been there because he drove me there. Someone else said they have?
I have.
Okay. I am not a fan. I got quite stressed and my boys, who were probably about 17, 14, 11 at the time, just ran crazy. Round and round and round, and they didn't care. We've also been to a maze in Wanaka in the South Island in New Zealand, Puzzling World. Has anyone been there? And we've all, oh, Tim's been there too. We've also been to the local. Now, I'm hoping some of you have been here, to Tanawa, the Bellingham Maze. Well, that's a bit better. Now, the one thing I had to do when I was running around in this maze and the children were lost was remind myself that there would be a way out. It's okay. You won't be here all day. Even if someone has to come and find you and take you by the hand, you will not be here all day. There is always a way out. And our series that we're doing at the moment, if there's one thing you take from that, maybe take this message, there will always be a way out. And that's what Tim talked to us last week about, there's always a way out. So today I'm going to talk about fighting temptation. And you might have one of these little cards that we've had at the door. You might have a little notebook to write some things down. So I encourage you to do that and to take this away and be thinking about it. Next week, Tim is going to remind us what it's like to live by the Spirit. Then Sess is going to give us the prime example, Jesus. So what happened when Jesus was tempted? Surely if there's an example to follow, it'll be in that. And finally, we'll wrap up our series with Feed Your Spirit. Looking at that concept, if you feed something, it grows. And if you starve it, it dies. So that's what we will be looking at. But the good news, of course, is that there is always a way out. Now, this verse is one that we're going to come back to over and over and over. And it's a verse that we read last week. And I want to have a look at it now again. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Now, if you don't have those verses written down or highlighted or somewhere, I encourage you to do that and put it maybe on your mirror or put it on your fridge and keep reminding yourself of that this week. As a matter of fact, if you can see that, all right, would you read it with me now? If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. We're not going to memorize it, but if you want to, that'd be great. Any takers to memorize that and come and tell me next week? It's like in Sunday school. I've memorized a verse. Scripture is great to memorize. That's one of the things we can do to fight temptation. Now, I'm going to ask you a very personal question, and this is not one that I want you to call out and answer. This is something that you might want to think about. It might be something that you challenged about. You might want to talk to somebody about it later, but it's really your personal reflection. And this is my question. What is your biggest temptation? Now, no, don't tell me. I could flick through the pages of the Bibles and I could start listing some things, list out everything that's sin and everything that could tempt us. There are plenty of passages, but I'm not going to go there. And I know that we all have some ideas already. Now, here's a bit of a shortish list. I like to put some words down and make a picture. So here's a bit of a list of things that you might be tempted by, some of the things that people might have responded with in their mind. And perhaps you are tempted at times to overeat. That was one of our illustrations last week, wasn't it, Tim? How was that muffin, by the way? You know, we had a muffin here if you weren't here, and we were thinking about the temptation of the muffin. I didn't try it, so I don't know, but I think it was tasty. It was tasty. Some of you might have enjoyed it as well. Maybe overspending is a problem. The desire to go and buy something just to make yourself feel better. Or maybe you have an addiction to a substance like alcohol or drugs. Lust, tempted to view things, some sexually explicit images that satisfy a hunger that it's not in God's plan. Or criticizing others, maybe putting people down. Commenting on a Facebook post that you shouldn't comment on, that's a bit unkind, or being argumentative when it's not called for, lots of those things. Stealing, maybe the brazen, not so brazen, but that kind of hidden stealing of, oh, someone's just giving me extra change. Woohoo, it's my lucky day. Maybe being lazy. And maybe thinking, well, I don't really have any weakness. So there's a little green one in there that says pride. And maybe that's something that is a temptation to you. Now, I don't ask this today to bring shame or to embarrass anyone in any way, but to ask you to listen to this message today through the lens of what maybe one of your own temptations might be. And I assure you that as I've been preparing this, I've been ticking off lots of things on my list and going, yep, that's a challenge for me. So it speaks to me as much as it speaks to every one of us here. Now, temptation, just as a reminder, we had this, definition last week of temptation. Temptation is anything that promises fulfillment at the cost of trusting God. So I'll read that again. Anything at all, temptation can be anything, that promises fulfillment. That'll do it. That'll fix it. But it is at the cost of trusting in God. If something in my heart, even just a little thing, a teeny weeny little problem, starts to grow and can fester and grow and grow, when it starts to overtake the place of God in my life, I know that it's not just a temptation. That's become full-blown. That's caused sin and separated me from God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a situation where I'm separate from God. Before we go any further, I just want to pray. Let's pray together. Lord, in every way, my desire is to be closer to you. And for each of my friends here, God, may we know you more, love you more. Teach us today, Lord, and open our ears to listen so that we may be closer to you and we can, with your help, fight temptation. Amen. I hope that really is your prayer today too. So coming to Christ, drawing nearer to God, doesn't mean that we'll be tempted any less. For Jesus was tempted, and it wasn't because he was moving away from his Father God. No, drawing nearer to God and becoming more intimate in our love for God means that we will still be tempted, but we can have that determination to fight the temptation. We can declare war against the temptation that's there, and we can do so with victory because we do not fight alone. For, reminding us, God is faithful and God will always show us a way out. So if we're going to fight a battle, I've never fought in a physical battle. I might have had a few little, cat fights. No, not really. I've got three brothers. So you know what? If you go through life with three brothers, odds are you're going to have a few biffs. So I have, but I am not a battle strategist. But I do know that we do need to have some things like a strategy, to have the best position, to have the high ground. We need good defences, good offences and weapons. The first thing I want us to do is to try and understand the battle. To be a strategist. When Tim and I were in London, we went to Winston Churchill's war rooms to see where everything happened, where the brain work went on. And so I want to look at some of the brain work and some of the process of temptation. It always begins with a thought. So I've got a couple of examples here. Thought, I'm feeling a bit down, a bit empty. Imagination, maybe I could go and buy myself some new shoes. Now, I'm not a shoe fan, but I know some people that I've worked with who had 50, 60 pair of shoes, and it was a way to go and feel better, buy yourself a new pair of shoes. Justification, I've worked hard. I deserve it. I need something to wear to flourish. Flourish is starting in March. I need some new shoes to wear. Choice. Oh, maybe I'll just go see if there's any sales on. Now, remember, it's not necessarily a sin, and this is not necessarily a temptation, but if it becomes overwhelming and if it drives you something bigger than the place of God, then it becomes sin. Maybe it leads you to lie. Oh, these shoes, I've had them for ages. They've just been in the back of the cupboard. My husband, haven't you seen those shoes before? You know, if it leads you to other sins as well. Or maybe this scenario is more appropriate. It's been ages since I've had a go on the pokies. It'd be good to go and just get out of the house today. So I could have a nice lunch, and while I'm there, maybe just a game, maybe one or two. I could even have a win. It's not like I'm an addict. I know when to stop. I'll just set a limit of 10 or maybe 20. Perhaps it'll even pay for my lunch. Choice. Well, I'll just start with one game. The sin? Now, where did the last 5 hours go? I don't know where the time went. And did I really lose $50 playing? Now, you may have one or two things that you wrote down or you thought about when you were thinking through what your biggest temptation is. So have a think about that. Thought. Imagination. What could you imagine? Justification. What's the choice? And would it lead to sin? The thing that it begins with? Always the thought. And if we can understand that, we can start to put a strategy into place. In the book of James, that James read to us this morning, we read this verse, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." James doesn't just say resist. First, submit to God. Secondly, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, I've got a list of a few things we can try when we're got a strategy together. And the first I've put there is acknowledge. Now, I haven't ever been to AA, but I know that some people have. And I know that the first thing is to acknowledge, isn't it? To say, I've got a problem. To admit that I'm powerless. And as someone who seeks to be a Jesus follower for all of us, you and I need to say, I can't do this. I can't do it on my own, God, I can't do it without you. I need you. I can no longer rationalize or justify all those things in my behavior. It's not about anyone else right now, God. It's about you and me. And so I actively move on to that next thing, submit. Now, in a video I was watching, Craig Rochelle, he's a pastor in America, and he talks about how he prays a prayer every day. He says, I get up and before I get out of bed, I get up and I go to the bathroom. But then, before I do anything else every day, I need to pray a prayer of submission to God. And it's a great idea for each of us to say, God, take every part of me. To pray a prayer that says something like, you know, God, today I give you my mind. Take captive every thought. Help me to fix my mind on whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Think about these things. God, take my eyes and let me see what you see. Let me see things, or let me not look at things that would tempt me to be the wrong way. God, take my mouth. May my words be glorifying to you. May they be positive. Lord, take my heart. Take my hands. May I do things that benefit each other. God, take my feet. Take every part of me. When I'm not submitted to God, when I don't do that, I will definitely be more vulnerable to temptation. When I am submitted to myself, when I'm not submitted to God, I will be more vulnerable to temptation. So submitted to God means God is my go-to. He's my number one. I don't need to rely on anything else. I don't need to rely on anything that comes in a bottle or a box or costs me money. I can just rely on God as my number one. So as I said, our mind is powerful. The first thing in all those battles is our thoughts. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, and this is from the Phillips translation, our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy, to pull it down, and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. We even fight to capture every thought, until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. That's a great verse there. 2 Corinthians 10:5 is a great verse to meditate on. So we acknowledge, God, I can't do this. We submit, and then we resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil, and what will the devil do? He will flee. There are lots of words for resist, and I quickly looked this up in the dictionary. To hinder, to block, to object to stand against, to thwart, to halt, to prevent, check, stem, curb. So many ways to understand resist. But have you ever heard someone say, I couldn't resist? It was irresistible. Now, we have a dog, Chocky, our little miniature chocolate poodle, and she has a very strong urge that relates to her nose. Even this morning, we're calling her Chocky. Chocky, she likes water dragons, and we walk along the creek, and we lose her every time because she cannot resist the urge to follow that smell. We stand there, we do everything. There is not a single treat that we could use to call her back that would help her resist that urge. But we are not dogs, and God doesn't put us on a leash. He gives us that control and that choice. Now, we could avoid that temptation by not taking Chocky for a walk at all. But that's not a great solution for her or for us. And the difference, as I said, is we are human. We're made in the image of God. In our lives, though, one of the best ways we can resist temptation, as Tim was saying before, is we can eliminate it. Hang on, I'll go back here. We can eliminate temptation if we can. But this is a great verse from Proverbs. And I like the way that it says the same thing many, many times. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't even set foot on it. Or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. So it's not just saying one time, just avoid that. No, don't set foot there. If you know that this is a temptation, don't even set foot there. Walk in the way, no, don't walk that way. Avoid it, don't travel on it, turn from it, go on your own way. That's a great verse. Proverbs 4:14-15. And when I worked in Brisbane, I would often find myself driving home, probably late in the afternoon, tired, hungry, cranky. And Tim's looking at me. There were different ways that I could drive, but there was one way I could drive through Kedron. And on the left-hand side of Kedron, as I came through Lutwyche, there was a Hungry Jack's and a KFC. Temptation indeed. Do you know, my strategy was to not be in the left lane, because there were three lanes across and then a turning lane and four lanes the other way, very busy highway. So, Karen, do not drive in the left lane, because if you do, you can quickly duck off and there's two drive-throughs to choose from. And you are going home to have dinner. Your lovely husband is at home. He's cooked a wonderful dinner. Your children are there waiting. Go home and eat dinner. Yeah, but, you know, KFC. And the added factor is our children can't eat KFC because they're celiacs, so I had to eat it while they weren't there with me, and also eat it before I got home and dispose of it before I left the car. So don't drive in the left-hand lane. Just don't do it. Here's a great question that I was looking for before. Why resist a temptation tomorrow if you can have the power to eliminate it today? The temptations will always be there, but if you can eliminate the possibility of a temptation today, it means the resisting tomorrow makes it even easier. So if drinking an excessive amount of alcohol is a problem for you, don't hang around for hours at the pub. If that chocolate donut or that KFC is an issue and you really shouldn't have it, then don't drive that way. Don't go to the bakery. Don't even go down the aisle, the lolly aisle. Don't even walk down that aisle. Or if you have a history of taking drugs that aren't right for you, and you know that there are people in your life that would encourage that, then don't hang around with those people. You need to be with the right kind of people. Anyone agree with that? Anyone experience that? You need to be with the right kind of people. If you're tempted to be unfaithful to your spouse, even in a little kind of conversation, just a little flirtatious way, then get out. Get out of there. Don't go somewhere on your own. We had a rule when we were very early in our marriage that we wouldn't be on our own with someone of the opposite sex. So if someone was at church and needed a lift home, there was a man needed a lift home and I was there, I wouldn't take him home. I'd say, no, sorry, I'll get Tim to take you home, but I'm not going to take you home. Or if someone came to the house and wanted a visit, I would say, sorry, Tim's out. You'll have to come back another time. It was a way of us saying, no, we're not even going to go there. If you can't eliminate something and you know that you'll be tempted and you'll continue to be tempted, realise the great news that Christ is with you and in Christ you can. This verse from Hebrews, because Jesus himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able, amen? He is able to help those who are being tempted. We don't need to fight alone. Praise God for that. So here's our list. We acknowledge, we submit, we resist, and we fight. We live, love, and fight. The Salvos have had that motto or that catch cry for many years, and I love it. Live, love, and fight. Now, we know that the weapons that we fight with are not of this world. We have the divine power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me. We have that power. So how can we use that power? This is a great one. We put on the armor of God. And if you don't know that armour of God and you can't make the picture in your head, get a diagram, write it down. Go to Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God. And for you, it might be a matter of going, right, God, I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation. Maybe act it out. Do it. Maybe that helps for you if you're a visual person. But here's the armour. Put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. And buckle your belt on, buckle it around your waist. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Ephesians 6. I saw a post recently, and it had, suit up, mama. to address to the young mums going out into this world. Today you've got all these things happening. Suit up. Get your armour on and take it with you. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. We can fight temptation. We have the strategy. We have the means. We have the Saviour. We have a way out. Everything is there for us. We just have to do it. We just have to take it. There's a song that we're going to sing that says this. This is my desire, to honour you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. This is submission. This chorus says, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. And that's what I want to ask you to consider today. Are you submitted to God? Submission can sound like a bit of a dirty word, can't it? But think about being submissive. What does it mean to be submitting to God? What's the posture that says, God, I submit to you? Like that man in the slide, I'm submitting to you, God. So today, as we sing through this song, you might want to just listen, or you might want to sing. You might like to kneel in submission to God. Or you may want to come to this place here at the front and say, God, I am submitting everything that I have to you. You might like to sit in your chair and just pray these words. God, everything that I have, every breath, every moment I'm awake, have your way in me. So I want to ask you to consider these words as we sing together. Please stand and join us if you want. Sit, pray. This time is for you to think about, what is it, God, that you want for me to do? The other thing I just want to add is that as I was here yesterday afternoon, I was walking around and I was just taken with how still this place was. It's not always still here. Sometimes it's very busy. But the verse I was thinking of is from Exodus that says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. So sometimes fighting is actually just being still. So today, maybe God asks you, just be still and soak this up. I'll leave it with you. You respond in the way that God wants as we sing this song together.
Oh.
We give you today all that we have. Lord, my prayer today is that we would all know you more. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to work, continue to speak in each of our lives. Lord, challenge us. Lord, remind us that you are mighty and you are always with us. Lord, we give you the rest of this morning. Thank you for being with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our final song reminds us that when we submit, we have a wonderful Saviour who's always with us, who offers that way out. I stand amazed in the presence. Amazed. We talked before about amazing grace. Now it's not only his amazing grace, but we stand amazed. Let's join these, enjoy singing these verses of praise and commitment together.
Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful,
John chapter 4 tells us that God is love and that he loved us first. Not that we sought out God, but God sought us out. So as we go today, let us go in the love that God gives us and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who showed us what that love was like for dying for us. Let us go with the Spirit who helps us submit to God, who helps us draw near to God as he draws near to us. And let us go with that love of God that we can share with one another as we go out and share morning tea and the rest of the day and the rest of the week. We do that in Jesus' name. Amen.